I desire that you would pray for us. We sure need it.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Glad to be back here. We pray for y'all out here all the time. Bear with us here.
Yes, Lord.
We want to turn to Genesis, the 41st chapter. I want to begin reading at the 50th verse. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house.
Amen.
And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction.
Amen.
And the thought that we have on our heart tonight is found in that last verse. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction.
Amen.
And when we consider that, and when we consider what affliction is something that I don't believe any of us want. It's not something that we ask for, it's not something that we desire, but it's something that happens to us. Sometimes the sister brought out, she said that, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations.
Yeah.
Sometimes things happen to us and afflictions come our way and circumstances and situations come our way that we have no control over whatsoever.
Amen.
And they're very trying to us and sometimes they're frustrating. Sometimes we need some grace in order to get through them. But here we have a situation where Joseph was fruitful in the land of his affliction.
Amen.
It wasn't just a little circumstance or a situation, but this man was carried to a land and put through a lot of hardship and heartache. He was carried out of his land. His brothers didn't like him. His brothers plotted against him, and the Lord allowed him to be taken prisoner and go and work his way out from a slave up into second in command. He went down. Again, by false accusation, he went back up into the prison. He tried his best to get out of the situation as best as he knew how, and praying and submitting himself. But the Lord allowed him to stay in it for years, not just a little while, not just a few weeks or a few days or a few months. But he allowed him to do it for a good portion of this man's life. But this man was fruitful in the land of his affliction. So many times we come against situations and things in our lives that we don't even know how to be fruitful with. And we're so pampered. We're so in such a place that we want to be taken care of, so to speak. We don't want to go through any heartache. And when things aren't fair, things don't go our way, we let you know that that's not the way it should be.
Yeah.
We kind of stand up on that. It says here that he says, I'm going to name my sons after that. So every time that I look at my son, I can remember what the Lord's done for me.
Amen.
Manasseh. Because the Lord's allowed me to forget all my toil. All the heartache, all of the trials, all the tests that I've gone through. These years where these people have lied on me and I've only done good for them. And they've lied on me. She lied on me. I went to prison for it. I'm going to name my firstborn son Manasseh.
Amen.
Because the Lord's allowed me to forget all that. Do you know that you cannot have a good experience if you don't learn how to forget about some things?
Amen.
There are going to be some things and some things that people are going to say. They may be well-meaning, they may not be well-meaning, but they're going to hurt you to the core sometimes, but you're going to have to learn how to forget them. You're going to have to be in a position where you can say, this is my firstborn son, his name is Manasseh, and I've forgotten about all the toils, I've forgotten about what everybody said and what they did, and I don't care about that anymore. The Lord has allowed me to forget all my toil.
Yes.
Amen.
Then there needs to be some times when I'm still here, my family's way over in another land, I want to be out of this situation. The Lord's not allowing me to be out, so I'm going to name my second son Ephraim. Because as long as I'm here, I'm going to be fruitful in what I'm doing. I'm not just going to take circumstances and say I'm a victim of circumstances. Have you ever heard someone say that, oh, I'm just a victim of circumstances? No, you're not.
Amen.
He's caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction.
That's right.
You think that was easy to do? To be fruitful in the land of your affliction? I want to turn to another scripture in Jeremiah. 29th chapter. I'm going to begin reading at the 1st through the 7th verse. If someone have it, you might read it for us.
Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem unto the residue
of the elders which were carried away captives,
and to the priests, to the prophets,
and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon.
After that, Jeconiah,
yes,
the king and the queen and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters and the smiths
were departed from Jerusalem
by the hand of
Elisha, the son of Shaphan, Gerariah,
yes,
the son of Hekaliah,
yes, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar,
king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may increase there, and not diminish. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. Now here is a situation where the Lord allowed these people to go through a situation that was not a pretty picture, so to speak, for them. He said, I'm allowing you to be carried away. This is not something of your own doing. It's not necessarily something that you did. I'm allowing this to happen. So I want you to get comfortable in that situation. I want you to get to the point that you're not looking at it as just a temporary thing. You're going to be here at least 70 years. So what I want you to do is build some houses. Do you know that the Lord wants us to build houses in some of the situations that we find ourselves in? We're one in the Lord and we're praying and we're getting all flustered, so to speak, about, Lord, when am I going to be out of this situation? I thought it would be temporary, and here it is. It's been going on for 3 months, for 9 months, for 3 years now, Lord, and I want to be out of this situation, but the Lord says, I want you to be fruitful while you're in it. So I want you to build some houses. I want you to get a little plot over here, and I want you to make a garden over here. I want you to plant some fruit, and I want you to plant some trees, and I want you to get your wives and have children, and you're going to be here a little while, in other words. You're wanting to look for an easy way out, but I'm telling you, you're going to be fruitful where I put you.
Yes.
I don't want to suffer, Lord. I don't want to be in that situation. Well, none of us want to suffer. But do you know some of the best lessons that you'll ever learn are the lessons that you learn while you're suffering?
That's right.
You know, I wish, you know, I've been in situations where I've wished that, oh, I wish everything would just fall into place and be just like it's supposed to be. Life would be a lot simpler, but you know, I believe that if we got like that, we'd have no iron in our character.
That's right.
We'd expect God, every time we pop our finger, we expect God to just run to our rescue. We'd get to the point that we'd feel that God was serving us, and some people are at that point anyway.
Yeah.
Rather than us serving Him. Yeah. Well, Lord, I thought you were going to come to my rescue. You know, I've been living, they get to using the scriptures about Hezekiah.
Yeah.
They turn their face to the wall. Lord, you've seen my life, Lord, and I expected you to come to my rescue like that. And the Lord didn't come to your rescue. The thing that they don't know is that you haven't been living like Hezekiah either. Some people haven't. But they expect the same benefits. The point that I want to make to us tonight is that the Lord has you in a place that He wants you. Captive. Oh my goodness. Lord, you intend for me to be captive in this place? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses. Build some houses. That shows some permanence.
Yes.
I don't want you just to rent. I don't want you to find a good place to lease. I want you to build something.
Yes.
I want you to put a little work into it.
Yes.
I want you to understand that you're going to be here for a little while.
Yes.
Can you handle that?
Yes, Lord.
This man, Joseph was imprisoned for something he didn't do.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
The Lord allowed him to be carried away for something he didn't even do. Put in prison for it. I found out that when you study Joseph's life, no matter what the situation was that Joseph was in, Joseph rose to the occasion.
Yes.
His brothers, you go back and see when his brothers threw him in the pit and they sold him off and how he was a servant, and then he did the very best that he could do in the place that he was in.
Yes.
And you know, when you do the very best that you can do in the place that you're in, somebody more than yourself is going to take note to that. Potiphar saw that this young man has some potential here.
Yeah.
We're going to put him in a place. We're going to make him a leader. And his wife saw that he had some potential too. She did some deeds that were just wrong. Lied on him.
Yes.
Because he wouldn't commit sin with her.
Amen.
Yeah. Put in prison again. Do you know that he rose up in prison?
Yes, he did.
You know the story. He was favored in prison.
Yes.
The Lord blessed him in every place that he was in. He didn't say, Lord, how am I going to get out of this situation? He made himself comfortable while he was in it. The Scripture speaks about that. Whatever state that you're in, to be content in that state.
Yes.
You know, we get to the point and we live in such a society today that we're never content in anything that we got. You can find people that have big, fine houses and nice things, and what do they want? They want to get out of this and move up to something bigger and better. You make enough money to make ends meet and it's pretty comfortable, but you see another job and you want to work two jobs so you can have a little bit more money to spend, a little bit more things to do. We're never satisfied in the state that we're in. We find the same thing happens to us on a spiritual level as well. We generally speaking, people get to places that the Lord allows them to be in situations that are not as comfortable as they would want them to be. And rather than them saying, Lord, in the heated furnace, Father, let me stay, we find a way to get out of it. If the Lord doesn't get me out of this pretty quickly, I'm going to find a way out of it myself. You ever heard of jumping from the frying pan to the fire?
Yes.
And that's what people do.
Yes.
This is too bad for them, and they jump out of it and jump into something much worse.
Yes.
But stay there.
Amen.
The Lord has caused you to be fruitful in the land of your affliction. You know what? There is something about a lot of people. There's a lot that you can complain about. I can find, no matter what kind of situation I'm in, generally, I can find something. Some people is what I'm saying in general. People can find something to complain about.
Yes.
But in the same light, there is something, and no matter what your circumstances, what your situation in life is, there is something that you can be thankful for too.
Yes.
There is something that I'm not talking about us just coming to a place that we feel like, oh, I'm trying to keep a good attitude and I'm gritting my teeth just trying to keep a good attitude about this thing. But inside I'm just boiling. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a deeper experience from the inside out. An experience that says I'm not just keeping a good attitude, but I'm being fruitful in the situation that I'm in. What does it mean to be fruitful? doing some good to somebody else.
Yes, the Lord.
You know, the problems that Joseph went through had an effect on an entire nation.
Yes.
Now, had the Lord not taken Joseph through that, Joseph would not have known the benefits and the things that he had known. He knew how to be humble. He knew how to be submissive in the places that the Lord wanted him to be humble and submissive in. And because of that, because he was fruitful in those circumstances, he was a blessing. He was the salvation of his family.
Yes, Lord.
The salvation of his family, not only the salvation of his family, but the salvation of the entire land of Egypt.
Yes.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Acts the 16th chapter. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keepers of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Now here's another situation that the men were in prison. Just because they were saints of God. Just because they lived right. And just because somebody didn't like the way that they lived. They were in prison.
Yeah.
Now, did they find out that they sat down, so to speak, and licked their paws and say, "You know, this really isn't fair. I don't really understand why the Lord requires us to go through this. We just was out there preaching and doing what we were supposed to be doing."
Yes, Lord.
That wasn't what they did. They said, "All right, we're here. This is where I am at this moment.
Amen.
I don't know how long we're going to be here. We may get our heads cut off. We may never come out of here. But while we're here, let's do some singing. Let's be fruitful while we're in this. And we may never come out of it. So that the people that are around us, I can't go to the next cell and I can't witness to this brother about Jesus. And I can't tell him and preach and all that, but I can sing. And they can hear me from one quarter to the other one. And I'm going to sing loud. And they sang praises unto the Lord. And what happened? The Lord heard them. They were fruitful. Not only were they fruitful in it, but they did something beneficial to somebody else. Somebody else got saved because of what they did. They were fruitful in the land of their affliction. Well, did they put themselves there? Was it something they were being buffeted for their own faults? No. They were doing precisely what God required them to do, and they fell into diverse temptations, and they counted it all joy. They knew how to do that. It is a blessing. As Sister She says, it's a blessing to know how to count.
Yes.
Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Let's go to Hebrews, 5th chapter.
Yes, Lord.
I want to read the 8th verse. Hebrews 5 and 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered.
Amen.
And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
Yeah.
Now, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. In my mind, when I consider Jesus having to learn obedience and having to suffer because in order to learn obedience, you take into consideration Jesus was the ultimate authority. He never had to bow to anybody. He never had to bow to an angel, his fathers, or anybody, because he and his father were one. They thought the same. They did the same. But when he came down here on earth, he had to understand what we go through. He had to understand what the flesh has to go through in order to be the perfect example.
Yes.
So he had to learn how to be obedient. The only way for him to do that was to suffer.
Yes.
Do you know, I've seen some children, and some of the worst children. My daughter was saying she was listening to something, and someone was saying how you should not whip children, and because it only teaches them to be violent and hit back. Now, I completely disagree with that. But in learning about children and dealing with children, they have to learn how to be obedient. And many times the way that they learn how to be obedient is not you just sitting down and saying, "No, Junior, I don't want you to do that." But Junior at some point got popped on the hand or got a good spanking. And Junior learned that when Mama or Daddy says, "No, Junior, I don't want it," it could be backed up with something.
Yes.
So when they say, "No, don't do it," he doesn't do it because he knows that something else could come right behind that.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
He learned how to be obedient by what he suffered.
Amen.
Christ learned obedience by what he suffered.
Yes.
What makes you think that we should be any different?
Amen.
Sometimes the best way to get us to learn how to be submissive, learn how to be obedient to the Lord, is for the Lord to put us in a straitjacket, so to speak, that we can't get out of.
Yes.
Put us in a situation, he says, now you just sit there and you stay there until I get you out of it.
Yes.
And you wiggle around and you get kind of uncomfortable a little bit and you say in your own heart and mind, "I'm going to find a way out of this," and you look and there's no way out.
Yes, Lord.
Have you ever dealt with somebody that was kind of manipulative? And that person could always find a way out of whatever they got into, generally speaking. You know, if you're not careful, you'll learn from that individual. And some of your trials, you'll try to manipulate your way out of it. But you can't do that. The Lord is just saying, stay there. Just stay there. I want you to be fruitful while you're in it. As soon as you learn how to be fruitful, you know, when you learn how to submit and humble yourself in the trial doesn't seem so bad after that.
Amen.
You know, you can be in the same things that's happening to you, and you don't even realize it's, you know, it seemed like the Lord just blessed somebody, and no, the Lord blessed you. That's who the Lord blessed. He taught you how to be fruitful and how to find the benefits out of what's going on. He helped you to realize that there's some fruit in this for you. There's something for you to get a hold of, and I want you to get a hold of it, and I'm not going to let you out until you do.
Amen.
You know what we do? We find ways to complain. Have you ever wanted to complain about something and nobody was interested in listening to you? That's the way it should be. Find something in it good. Find something good. Find the benefit out of it. Do something. You know, many times if we get our minds so off of ourselves, we're so self-centered, we're so concerned about me and how I hurt and how they hurt me and what they did to me. If you got your mind off of what they did and get your mind on what you can do for somebody else that benefits somebody else, oftentimes it releases the burden, the stress that you have. The Lord says, I want you to suffer a little bit.
Yes, Lord.
So if you don't suffer a little bit, you'll think you deserve everything I give you.
Yeah.
And you don't. He said, if you suffer with me, you shall also reign with me.
Yes,
that's what it's all about. Suffering with them now so you can reign with them later.
Yeah.
All right? All right, let's turn to Philippians, 4th chapter.
Yes, Lord.
And let's read the 4th through the 8th verse. If you have it, you might read it for us.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
And again I say rejoice.
And again I say rejoice.
Let your moderation be known unto all men.
Yes.
The Lord is at hand.
Yes.
Be careful for nothing.
Yes.
But in everything by prayer.
In everything by prayer and supplication.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
Let your
Let your request be made known unto God.
And the peace of God,
which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Finally, brethren,
whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you suppose that Joseph took all his time up thinking about how bad people treated him and what the situation was that he was in? Do you suppose that he did that? Then why do we feel that we have a right to do it? It tells us what to think about. You know what? I find out that many times, well, in every situation that I've been in, the only benefit, when you start talking and thinking about what the other man does to you and how you can't forgive somebody and all that, you know who it hurts the most? You.
Yes.
The person don't even know that you feel that way.
Right.
And probably don't even care that you feel that
That's
way.
Right.
But you're sitting there thinking about it, and the more you think about it, the more it festers, and the more it festers, the more upset you get, and the more upset you get, the more stress it causes, and before you know it, you've lost the joy and the grace of God out of your heart.
Yeah.
It says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. Half of the things that people are complaining about, half of the things that people are saying aren't even true. You know, have you ever heard the saying that don't believe nothing you hear and only half of what you see? Sometimes when people want to pass something on to you, that's about what you need to say. Don't even believe it. People come and want to dump something on you, and you immediately grab it and run with it. And you find out a little later that it ain't even true. I just don't take a lot of criticism from people. If people want to dump, sometimes you get into places, particularly being a pastor, you get to places that people just want to dump on you because they need to get rid of it. And you know, those are the kind of people that go and question and want to get a little information from everybody. And they can't even handle it. Can't handle what they're getting. And then they're troubled in their little spirit. Because they heard some gossip from two or three folks, and I don't really understand. Well, why could they do that? And then they come and they need to talk and counsel with you, and really what they need to do is get it out of their system. You have to listen to them.
Amen.
And really what should have happened in the first place, they never should have received what they got.
Amen.
But it says, whatsoever things are true.
Amen.
Well, is it true? Is that really true? Well, yeah, that's what Sister Such and Such said, that Brother Such and Such said. You don't even know. Do you know that by the time you get, a lot of the information that you get has been so twisted and turned, it doesn't even resemble the truth anymore. But it says, whatsoever things are true. Did you hear it with your own ears? Whatsoever things are true, think on these things. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, if you think on this, you won't have time for all the other stuff that folks got you thinking about. Your mind will be pretty full if you think on this. And I believe that that's what we need to do. And these situations that we come in contact with, that's what helps us to be fruitful in the land of our affliction. In the times when we don't think that we can put one foot in front of the other, when we think on the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous, that's what helps us to be fruitful.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Too many of us. I'm going to turn to John, the third chapter. Verse.
He must increase. But I must decrease.
It's the whole point in it. In order for anything to grow, it has to die first.
Amen.
Something about a seed, you put it in there, and it deteriorates and it dies, and then it comes up.
Amen.
He must increase, I must decrease. We get off of being so self-centered.
Yes, Lord.
So much interested in how my flesh should be comfortable. And how this isn't right and isn't fair. And there's a lot of things about life that aren't fair. Most things about life aren't fair. I could probably tell you something in your situation that's not fair as far as I'm concerned. And vice versa. Life isn't fair. It's not supposed to be fair. The Lord didn't intend for it to be like that. But He said that that His grace would be sufficient for you in everything that you would go through. That's what balances it out. All right? He must increase, but I must decrease. That's the place that we need to find ourselves in, and we need to stop pampering ourselves so much. In a place that we feel like I'm the most important thing that's happening.
Yes.
And because of my importance, this really should never have happened to me. It's really what we're saying. Lord, it should never have happened to me because I'm so important. That's what Joseph said. Joseph could have turned his face to the wall, so to speak, and said, Lord, look at my life. Lord, I've done everything just like You've told me to do, and now I'm in this situation. And Lord, the situation isn't fair. My brothers are over there, but you know what happened? He said, I'm going to name my sons.
Amen.
I'm going to name them Manasseh. I'm going to name them Ephraim. Because number one, the Lord has allowed me to forget some things that have been very hard. Some very hard situations, some very hard things that are enough to hurt me so bad and so deeply and wound me so deeply that I'll turn away and I'll never even trust in the Lord again. You know, some people, I find out that some people, things happen to them and I've seen them get bitter. I've seen them get real bitter and allow a root of bitterness to spring up. And I find out that a lot of times what happens is the Lord allowed them to be in a place and He said, I want you to build a house here. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not your land, but I want you to be here for a little while. And they decide in their own mind that this is not where I want to live. I want to be someplace a little further out, away from all of this. I want to be in this hubbub. And what ends up happening is they get to that place where the Lord says, no, I'm going to allow people, I'm going to allow things to come your way to kind of hem you in. Because I don't want you to go out there. It's not going to be beneficial for you. You're not going to get the lessons that I want you to learn in that. And what I find that happens to those individuals that won't say, all right, I'll build a house. I'll make a garden. I'll stay here. I'll realize, Lord, that this is where You have me to do. And I'll stay here until You want me to get out of it. But those individuals that decide in their own mind, I'm going to get out of this some way, somehow, they become embittered. And a lot of times what they look at is, they first of all, most people know not to be bitter at God. Some of them don't, but most of them do.
Amen.
So they get bitter at the thing that's closest to Him. His people.
Yes.
Have you ever known of somebody that's just bitter? Bitter. You say something about saints, they just bitter.
Yes.
It's real.
Yes.
But I want to say this to every one of us tonight. You can take your situation that you're in right now. Thing that seems to be hardest for you to deal with. Thing that seems like maybe it's not quite the way it should be. You can say, Lord, make me fruitful in this.
Amen.
Teach me how to be fruitful.
Amen.
You know what I've found is that many times when I get in a trial, it is necessary for me to go to that trial victorious.
Amen.
Because I found out so many times, I don't want to go through a trial twice. So if I have to get down and really get a hold of it, I might as well do it now because it's going to be harder for me the next time.
Yes.
If I don't want to go through it now, I sure ain't going to want to go through it again. So I might as well get down and get it right now. Get it done right the first time. If you can get it done right the first time, you'll learn how to be fruitful.
Amen.
Under your circumstances and the situations of life. go back to my text. 41st chapter, 53rd verse. 51st verse. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, the land of my affliction. God had caused him to be fruitful in the land of your affliction. Can you say that tonight? My desire is to be fruitful in the land of my affliction.
Amen.
I'm not saying that I want to have the afflictions that the Lord is allowing me to come up against, but I'm saying, Lord, as long as I'm there, I want to be fruitful in it. You know, some situations that the Lord allows us to go through are not temporary situations.
No.
They're not just going to be there for a few months and then they're going to go away like we want them to. And a lot of times the scripture says, in your patience possess ye your soul. Sometimes the reason that we have to be, patient, I won't say sometimes, the reason we have to be patient is because, number one, we don't know when the Lord's coming to get us. He may come to get us tomorrow, He may come to get us 50 years from now. We don't know when the Lord, number two, is going to get us out of the trial. He may get us out of the trial tomorrow, He may get us out of the trial 50 years from now. But you can rest assured that we wait long enough and we're patient long enough, the Lord's going to get us out of the trial. He wants us to be fruitful in the land of our affliction.
Yeah.
He wants us to be in a place that, Lord, you think about Job. He was in a real tough place that the Lord put him there. The Lord had a conversation with the enemy of his soul. And he says, have you considered my servant Job? There is no man on the earth like him. Can God say that about you?
Yes.
And he said about me. And Job got into the place that he said, Lord, and he said, you know, and the scripture speaks about Job. Job was a fruitful man in his land of affliction.
Yes, Lord.
Because a lot of the trials that we go through today, what do we turn to when we go into something hard? Lord, if Job can do it, surely I can.
Yes.
A man of patience.
Yes.
Patience is important. You don't know how long the Lord's going to have you in it. Build a house.
Yes.
Lay a good, solid foundation. It may be 70 years before He comes and pulls you out of it. Build a house. Get your little plot of land here where it'll get plenty of sun. Work out there, toil it up, dig it up, and plant you some flowers. Plant you some fruit. Not only that, but he said that I want you to marry. I want you to get your sons and your daughters. Get them some husbands and wives. They're going to be there. They're going to be there a little while. Get settled. This is where I want you to be. I don't know when to bring you out of it. But while you're in it, I want people to look around and say, I want to be able to point to them and say, those are my people.
Amen.
You see them? They're in the land of Babylon. They're in a strange place. I told them to sit there. I told them to be an example while they were in the midst of it. I told them to be fruitful while they were in Babylon. And you see what they're doing? They're doing that.
Praise.
Those are my people. Do you know, you get to a place, if we don't do that, if we don't get to the place that, Lord, I'm going to build a house, I'm going to be here. And you don't do that, you'll find out that there's going to be a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
He didn't say, I want you to move into the house of the Babylonians. I want you to build something.
Yeah.
I want it to be strong. I want it to be sturdy.
Yeah.
He's saying the same thing about us. Our circumstances and our situations should not dictate how we react. Should be something else. Something coming from inside that dictates how I react to every given situation.
Yes.
Lord, help me. Teach me.
Yes,
teach me how to be fruitful in it.
Yes.
I'm afflicted. I'm in a terrible place, but Lord, teach me. That's my desire. I desire that you would pray for me.
Amen.